Good morning, everyone. This is Brother Wilmer here this morning, 484-919-8850. Dear Father, we come before you here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you, and Lord, we bless you. Father, we especially come this morning thanking you for that work on the cross, that salvation that you have brought for us, that we do not have to forever walk in our wounds or offenses, so to speak, Father, but you have come and you have brought forgiveness for sins, and not only have you brought forgiveness for sins, but you have brought a healing for our souls through what you have done and accepted. What you have authored and finished there for us, and we thank and praise you, Father. We come before you now, and we ask that the bread of life would be broken to us as we study into your word, as we seek you in your word this morning, as we share together. We pray that you would be here with us, amongst us, and that you would fill each one of us, whether we're speaking or listening, that you would fill us with your spirit, that we might experience your love deep within our souls. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Matthew, this morning, I would like to go to a certain subject here, and I may be paraphrasing some here this morning, but I would like to look at something here in Matthew 18, verse 7. Matthew 18, verse 7 says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh." I have looked at that verse many times already in my life, and it has just taken on a new meaning here lately, which I would like to share with you here this morning. The way that I read that verse was the woe unto those to that man by whom the offenses cometh. What I have been missing is that the first part, it's saying that woe unto the world because of offenses. In other words, it is saying, ouch, to the world. Why? It goes on to say, for it must needs be that offenses come. What he's saying here, that in this life, offenses will come our way. So this is a verse that is pretty full here. Like I said, before I kept seeing, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come. And that's true. But he's also saying before that, woe unto the world. He's saying, woe unto you, woe unto me, because you will be offended. He is... It goes on to say, and I'm not sure if it's here in this same chapter, I believe it does, that it says it would be better for someone that offends a little one. It would be better that a millstone would be hung around his neck and that he would drown in the sea where it was the deepest. He is saying here that woe, he is saying that it is very wrong for us to go around offending people and to be that offender. But as I have studied into this more and more, it is also wrong for us to be offended and hold on to that offense. I would just like to go to Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I would like to paraphrase a little bit here. Let's just read this again. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that offend you, do good to them that hatefully offend you, and pray for them that despitefully offend you, and offend you while persecuting you. Now, in Luke 6:28, bless them that cursed you, and pray for them that which despitefully use you. Here again, I would like to paraphrase a little bit here to get our attention. Bless them that offend you, and pray for them that despitefully offend you. Romans 12:14 says, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Here again, I would like to paraphrase, bless them which offend you, bless, and do not return the offense. No, he is saying that here, he says, bless them that persecute you, bless, and curse not. We need to be careful that we do not turn around and put a curse on someone, to speak a curse on someone. How can we do that? When someone offends us, we can turn around and speak to others in a way that the spoken word can in some ways put a curse on that person. So it's very important here that we that God's word does not fail. And there's something here that he wants us to see, or he wouldn't be talking about this many times. In fact, as we look into God's word, it speaks many, many, many times in this direction, in many different ways. So it becomes very clear that God does not want us to hang on to offenses. He is saying here that we are to love our enemies. We are to love them that curse us. We are to love them that hate. We're supposed to be pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us. We're supposed to bless them and pray for them. In other words, when we look at this and someone does something against us that offends us, we are to release that and turn around and bless them. In other words, if someone offends us And it causes much pain in our life. And let's say that pain would be 4 billion dollars worth of pain. Now, it doesn't really matter how many dollars worth of pain it is. It can be $4 worth of pain or $4 billion pain. What he's asking us to do is to take that account, to take that bank account of, yes, that bank account of $4 billion worth in pain, and he's asking us to take that account and to not only bring it to a zero balance, but he's also asking us to then fill that bank account with a blessing for that person. And we find that, I found that interesting. You know, when we kneel down to pray, and we remember that yesterday, this and this or that person has hurt us, has offended us, we are to pray and to bless. Pray a blessing upon that person. Now, Jesus did not mean to just do that literally. In other words, say Paul offends us yesterday. We are not to just get down on our knees this morning and pray, "Oh Lord, and by the way, bless Paul." That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is when we pray for Paul, that we pray for him and wish him and pray for him everything that we so much long for in our own life, everything that we pray for ourselves, that we pray that for Paul with just as much love in our hearts as we have towards ourselves when we ask the Lord for the things that we would like to be blessed in today. That really caught my attention. In other words, he doesn't want us to just bring it to a zero. He doesn't want us to just bring that account to zero and then some half-hearted, you know, bless him so that we did what he said that we ought to do. But Jesus wants us to pray for our enemies and wish them every blessing for today that we want for ourselves and more. Here in Matthew 18, it seems like this whole chapter is just filled with this thought. Later on here, he ends up with a story here. And this story really brings his point home. Here, there was someone that owed his master $4 billion, I think. And I think that $4 billion is in today's money. Let me just check here. It says 10,000 talents, and I think if that is translated to today's worth, I think it comes to $4 billion. Not only did okay, when this servant fell down and worshipped him and said that he would repay all, it says that not only did he accept that he would pay all, but he cleared his slate and turned around and gave his life back to him, his wife and children back to him. Not only did he take that 10,000 talents, he didn't only take that account and take it to zero, but he forgave him, brought that balance to zero, and then turned around and gave him a wonderful gift, and that was his wife and children, and all that he had, he gave back to him. It's a wonderful example for us with our children when they need to be corrected, that we can disciple them, and then we can bring their account on that subject to a zero, then not just that, but when we end up with the correction and to disciple them, and then before they leave us, to then yet give them a gift, or in other words, not sending our children away with a zero balance, but to bring that big thing that they owed because of their wrong deed, bring correction, bring the balance to zero, and then fill them with something positive before we send them away. It's a wonderful way to look at it here, but as much as we want that for our children, we also need to do this for our enemy. Because if we do that for our children, and we cannot do it for our enemy, but walk in those offenses continually, this will not turn out right in our family. But it's a good thing to do with our children. It's also a good thing to do with our enemies. It seems so many times when there is an offense, there is something within us that wants that person that has offended us to see what they did and to come with an apology. There's that automatic payback system that we enter into without even trying. And we can have all kinds of excuses to justify what we want the offender to do. But if we really, really check ourselves and allow the Lord Jesus to search our hearts in why we want that, 99.9% of the time, it is not necessarily that we have the best of our offender in mind, but there is something in there that by our offender coming with an apology or paying back would bring some kind of better feeling for myself. And this is not what Jesus wants. In fact, if Jesus would have practiced this, where would we be today? Where would salvation be today? Jesus practiced releasing those offenses and forgiving without requiring any payback. He was willing to bring the balance to zero without being asked, and to instead of just leaving the balance hanging at zero, he was willing to bless and fill that account with a heavenly gift towards you and towards me. He loved us even yet before we knew him. He loved us before we loved him, and he continued to love and draw us. And this is what he wants for us towards our enemies or towards those that have offended us. And the reason he wants that for us is there is a tremendous blessing in this. Whenever God is strong about a certain issue in his word, the reason he is strong in that and keeps repeating it is because there is a blessing in that that he wants us to get. I'd like to read this account yet. In Matthew 18:23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which took an account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay it, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosened him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, and went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw that was done, they were very sorry, and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, this little portion of scripture here is a loaded portion of scripture, and it is rather frightening here. In other words, this man that owed the $4 billion, his account was brought to zero. It was impossible for him to pay. And his account was brought to zero. Not only was it brought to zero, he was given back his life. Which, before, if we look here, it seemed that to get his balance to zero was to sell his wife, his children, and all that he had. But because he asked for forgiveness, his balance was brought to zero, and his $4 billion worth of wife, children, and contents were given back to him. Not only was his balance brought to zero, but his balance was brought from a minus $4 billion to a plus $4 billion in his account. Now, when he did not forgive his fellow servant that owed him a few dollars, this was brought before the Lord, before his Lord, and his Lord was angry. He said, "Here I forgave you $4 billion worth of debt, and you can't forgive your fellow servant for a few dollars." Not only did he take the $4 billion that was now in his balance, but he took it away from him and put him back in the state where he was at before, a minus $4 billion. And he didn't stop at that. He sent him unto the tormentors. It's a lesson here for us. Let us take this to heart. Let us bless our enemies. Let us bless those that have offended us. And let us not do it just because we are told to, but because there's a deep love that we want them to experience, the love of God in every way that we want to experience it and more. The Lord bless you all today.